I have a short reading this morning. We shall do so much in the years to come, but what have we done today? We shall give our gold in a princely sum, but what did we give today? We shall lift the heart and dry the tear. We shall plant a hope in the place of fear. We shall speak with words of love and cheer. But what have we done today? We shall be so kind in the afterwhile. But what have we been today? We shall bring to each lonely life a smile. But what have we brought today? We shall give to truth a grander birth, and to steadfast faith a deeper worth. We shall feed the hungering souls of earth, but whom have we fed today? That is by Nixon Waterman. Nixon Waterman was a newspaper writer, a poet, and a Chautauqua lecturer who lived from 1859 to 1944. His works are in the public domain, and he isn't really well known. But I came across this poem that he wrote, and it spoke to me. To live in the present moment, that is difficult for me sometimes. It spoke to me because I feel lately the angst, the division, and the hostility that seems to be pervading our world. And I want to do something, but a lot of the time, I'm not sure what it is I need to do. In my mind, many times I've thought to myself, but I am just one person. What I do won't make a difference in the course of the planet turning around the sun. And even though deep inside I know this isn't true, or we wouldn't have Jackie Robinson or Rosa Parks or Rachel Carson or any of the people one by one who did brave and marvelous things to aid our humanity. We have countless examples of those who stood up to tyranny, racism, sexism, and inhumanity to humans that I could cite. Yet within me, many times, I feel as if there is nothing I, as one person, can do. Well, I am here this morning to say, yes, there is! And I see it every day. So many people this year seem to feel there's nothing they can do to counteract the hate and division that is not only in the United States, but seems to be spreading across the globe. My grandparents came from Hungary in the early 1900s, and they would be aghast if they were alive to see what Viktor Orban is doing to their country. It used to be a short-lived democracy, and he has slowly but surely turned it into a dictatorship. And we are watching the dictators on our planet beginning to band together. It is frightening, and it is infuriating to me to watch all of this unfold. I like to save quotes and poems and sayings. In my studies for this sermon, I came across a quote I saved from an article I read a while back on Jackie Robinson. It was after his statue was stolen, sawed off at the ankles by a man who wanted the medal to sell. At least that's what he told the authorities. It broke my heart to read that story, and it angered me to have this great man defiled like that. They had erected a bronze, full-size statue of Jackie Robinson in a park in Wichita, Kansas. And last winter, I believe, they discovered one day that it was gone. Only the shoes remained. And in the article entitled "The Fight Over Jackie Robinson" in the Washington Post, they spoke of his life and his legacy. And in one part, I quote, "Jackie and Rachel Robinson gave their children a global view, and all those experiences intersected at one theme, Participation. Don't disengage and watch from the bleachers. Live to serve. Unquote. I am a baseball fan. And yes, even though I'm in Los Angeles County, I am still loyal to my St. Louis Cardinals. I grew up in Southern Illinois, and they were the closest team, deep rivals of the Chicago Cubs. And actually, also the Dodgers were rivals. Sorry, Dodger fans. So I have followed baseball all of my life. There are so many life lessons in baseball to me. And lately, I've been looking to those life lessons to give me solace. So much is happening in our world that is out of our control. How can we bring peace to ourselves and others when we seem to be surrounded by chaos? I get a lot of newsletters in my email, and again, I came across one I discovered this winter that I saved from Substack. I also write on Substack, so I've come across some great writers. Reverend Angela Jernigan has a column there, and she has a page called Tenets of Soul Care, and it is how to care for your soul. She identifies as a community-based Christian with a small c, minister, and also an artist. It feels as if it relates very much to the body work that we did through meditation this morning and the service last week. It's about the soul and what she believes is the human soul. Some of it sounds like Unitarian Universalism. She has on her website some of the following. The individual human soul is inherently worthy and good. Goodness equals wholeness. Deeply personal, purposeful, and particular. It is shaped by and shaping of the collective souls in which the soul is nested and intermingled, arrives with purpose and mission, has the power to call in what it needs to grow, learn, and gain wisdom. And she has a few more, but you get the idea. We are engaged in this world and anchored by our souls. That is our essence. And in some ways, I think, brings our purpose to why we are here. That's why I am so befuddled as to why some people only seem to bring evil or destruction to this life. I want to believe we are all here on this earth to better everything, human life, all life on this planet. Reverend Jernigan describes it this way, quote, when we learn to listen deeply to the leanings and purpose of the soul, we discover that far from being selfish or untrustworthy, the individual human soul is both invested in and wise about the well-being of the whole and has much to offer to the collective good. Unquote. That quote brings me hope. To listen to our souls. I tend to forget that sometimes my soul holds deep and meaningful ambitions. I truly believe that we all begin with wholeness, with clean and perfect souls. That is the universalist in me, with the intention to make the world a better place. And then life happens, and sometimes it turns us into those souls that seek selfish motives. Those souls that ache for power or wealth or fame, and we lose sight of why we are here as human beings. That's what I feel is happening on our planet today. I feel like I'm watching charlatans gain power, lost souls who only wish for what they can gain for themselves. Not everyone on Earth wants to make it a better place. And that's when I wonder, what is happening to their souls? So how do we counteract that? That's when I believe we can look to ourselves and see what it is we can do to help the world and feed our souls. What I've noticed with this congregation is you are already reaching out into the world to do your part, and that is so exciting to watch. To see the postcard and letter writing that you do, to see the outreach and contributions to worthy organizations that you complete is so heartening. I really feel you are doing your part. And what I'm hoping for is that you are doing the same for yourselves, for your souls. So many of us sometimes do too much, like the good egg. We want to be the one to fill that space when someone or something needs our assistance. And that is wonderful and satisfying, I am sure. What are you doing for your souls and yourselves? There really are a lot of caring people in the world. I truly believe that. And what I hope is that everyone who gives so much is also giving to themselves. It's not material things. It's feeding your souls. I believe that is needed more now than ever. If someone is calling someone else a derogatory name or deliberately sabotaging someone's future or income or even their lives, they must not be feeding their souls. When I see behavior like this, yes, at first it makes me so angry, and then I become despondent. I don't wish to see human beings acting this way. I want to see the good in others all the time. And that's when I need to feed my soul. That's when I might meditate or take a bubble bath or play with my dog or be in nature. That's when I need to do something for me. Not a material something, but a self-care something. I have another quote. This one by Gabor Mate. Quote, "All of Western medicine is built on getting rid of pain, which is not the same as healing. Healing is actually the capacity to hold pain." My spiritual director sent me that quote once. He is a retired physician who practices holistic medicine. I had never thought of it that way before. I thought when I healed, when the bad thing would go away, I didn't really realize that the pain was really still there, and it had metamorphosized into something else. I guess like a wound creates a scar over it, the scar covers up where the wound was, but the wound is still underneath, functioning much better now that it is now covered. That's how our body works when we heal. I had a hip replacement last year, and I have a scar. But now I walk mainly without pain, yet there still remains a bit of pain, like a memory. It just doesn't hurt like it used to, and it functions nearly normally. So if I look at that analogy, I haven't just buried the pain beneath the scar. I healed something instead. I think our souls are that way too. Maybe it's like the old saying I've heard from others, I've forgiven, but I haven't forgotten. The pain is still there, but it is healed over. One more quote. This is kind of a sermon of quotes this morning. This one is from Andre Nouwen, a great leader I discovered as a chaplain. He is so revered in the chaplain ministry community as a theologian who brought the human side of theology into being. When he struggled with something, he is known to have said, "I wondered if others were struggling with the same thing." To quote, In a world so torn apart by rivalry, anger, and hatred, we have the privileged vocation to be living signs of a love that can bridge all divisions and heal all wounds. Unquote. He brings me hope when I read his words, to feel that we can bridge all divisions and heal all wounds is such a worthy goal. Yet that must begin first to look inward, to take care of ourselves and our souls first. I feel for and pray for those who aren't taking care of their souls. And when I get angry or have my buttons pushed by something someone has said, I know to care for my soul and to wish them the same. In our story for all ages, the good egg did just that. When he began to get cracks all around him, he took care of his soul. He took walks, he meditated, he wrote in his journal, he floated in the river. He discovered that caring for himself healed the cracks. It doesn't help to strike back when someone strikes at us. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King taught us that. So did Jackie Robinson and Rosa Parks and Rachel Carson. Let us remember to take care of our souls. Always remember that. Caring for your soul will only help the world to care for theirs. May it be so.